Srimad-Bhagavatam, the school of Nikayan stories. They are so Nikayan because they are all related to the Krishna and his devotees. In this chapter, there is a very specific description of Vidura's arrival after his pilgrimage back to the Hastinapur and his instruction to the Dhritarashtra. It is written here that with great delight they all approached him as his wife had returned to their bodies. So we can see that in very time, in those days, they could in such a way express their feelings. Their relationships are so personal, and we see with this progress of age Kali that we unfortunately are becoming mechanical. As Srila Prabhupada ultimately says that age of Kali is the age of machines and mechanical people. Can you perceive that? We became mechanical? Because selfishness increases up to that extent where so much observed in our lives, our own interests, that we cannot perceive that we are surrounded by other personalities. That means we became so selfish, so grossly merged into the our existence, into the conception I and mine. We consider ourselves to be so important. Therefore, even sometimes guests or our friends are coming and we are not properly receiving them. We can see such examples in our life. Some person, some devotee may ask you, "Oh, how are you?" And even without receiving reply from your side, she will turn away and go. So it became so mechanical, we just like trying to follow some moral, some code of behavior in this community, but actually we are unable to catch the essence, which is the relationship. We are so much floating on that superficial platform that we cannot go deeper. We cannot see clearly ourselves, we cannot see other individuals around us. So this is the material existence. And we are engrossed in such a conception, I am mine. Because we consider, I am so important. I am so important. And everything what I see is mine and meant for my enjoyment. We are bewildered by such illicit conception as, I am enjoyer, what else? I am controller and I am proprietor. I am a proprietor. So completely opposite to the reality. Because we are neither enjoyer nor controller, nor owner. But we are so much illusioned. We think, I am the owner, I am the enjoyer. Actually, nothing belongs to us. So therefore, one of the qualities of Vaishnava, that he is akinchana. That is Sanskrit definition, akinchana. Akinchana means I don't possess anything. Actually, to be born spiritually, we have to die materially. Means we have to relinquish all our material attachments, all our material designations. Even sometimes we are externally following the scout of bhakti, and still we are so much after this designation. I am a great preacher, I am a great learned scholar, I am a best singer, my dress is better, or I am looking better, or I am very important person in this community, I am playing very important role in this community. Or we may think, this is my community, it is meant for my enjoyment. So many designations. But our actual identity is to be humble servant of the Lord. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we have to just realize one thing. That is statement. Vivera Svarupahaya Krishnava Nitya Dharma. And all our misfortune disappears. Sometimes we may think that, oh, I have heard this statement so many times, maybe thousands of times. And we think, oh, already I know all of this. What is the use to listen again? But path of bhakti is this path of realization. When we are understanding the subject matter deeper and deeper, just requires one thing, to realize that I am a servant of God. Nothing else. Whatever it seems that I possess in this world, actually I do not possess. There are no real connections with this world. We may think this is my family, this is my nation, but how long it lasts? How long it lasts? But we are so much attached to our family, and our position, our business, our money. We think, oh, money is everything to me. Money and my position, and whatever facilities for my enjoyment, very important. In contrary, devotee thinks Krishna is everything for me. And actual bhakti begins from the stage of madhyama. And devotee does not expect anything in return. He does not think, I am serving God, so God has to bless me and fulfill my desires. That is very sublime consciousness is expressed in last flock of Kshatriyas. Asli Shiva Padaratam Vinashtuma Adasanam Marmahatam Karotuva Yatha Tatha Va Vidatha Suvampato Matrananatha Sutayeva Nabara. We should be ready as devotees to accept whatever God sends to us. We have to be ready to accept. We have to understand everything happens according to this sweet will of God. We should not think it is injustice towards me. That is the one of the aspects of humility. Devotee does not think I am the center of this universe. He thinks Krishna is the life and soul for every living entity. So my life meant for his enjoyment. And whatever he sends to me, I am ready to accept it for the pleasure of the God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in his bhajan, O Govinda, if you will become happy by my unhappiness, please let us be. Let me face all these struggles and overcome them joyfully for your pleasure. That is very exalted and sublime quality of a devotee. We see from the life of the Pandavas, they were so many times in such a dangerous situation. They went through so many calamities, but still they did not accept. Right? And this question arises. Why all those calamities happen to the devotees? That subject is discussed while departure of Bhishma Deva. Very pathetic situation. When all the Pandavas, Krishna and other rishis and munis came to the arrow bed of Bhishma Deva, Krishna inspired Bhishma Deva to speak what is the dharma of the living entity. And Yudhishthira, he wanted to know, he wants that it will be confirmed by Bhishma that he has to become a king. Yudhishthira, he was lamenting after this war. He was thinking, I am the cause of all the suffering. So many people were killed. So many women became widows because of my ambition to become a king. But he was lamenting. He had a dilemma. What to do? He was not pacified by his brother, by Krishna, by Vyasadeva. And he wanted to know what is the opinion of Vishnudeva. They went all together to the spot where Vishnudeva was lying. And this question rose, what is the cause of suffering of the Pandavas? What Bhishma Deva answered? Huh? Anybody can tell what was the answer of Vishnu Deva? Huh? Powerful influence of the time. Anything else? You have discussed already this chapter, right? In Bhagavad. Listen. Vishnu Deva, looking on Krishna behind all the Pandavas, he saw. Actually, I don't know what is the reason, what is the cause of what you are all suffering. And after he began to ponder, he was saying, it is karma, it is inevitable time, and it seemed that Bhishma Deva is not saying the actual cause of their suffering. But according to the Purana, such calamities appear in our lives because of karma and kala and our nature, our swabhava. Finally, they came to the conclusion. Finally, he described that was the mercy of Lord Krishna. They suffered all their lives because of Krishna. Because of love of Krishna. So it's difficult to appreciate for materialistic people. How is it like that? Krishna loves me and he sends me difficulties. Some sort of strange. But to develop their bhakti, to enhance their attachment for Krishna, Krishna needs them. Because Krishna feels happiness only in relationship with his devotees. He becomes subservient to his devotees. And he is moved by love. He is ready to break his word. He is ready to become charioteer. He is ready to accept a steal from his devotees instead of bananas. But because he is moved by love, nothing is lower and higher for Krishna. It is compared to the love of a mother towards her child. She does not think it is offensive to clean up her child. And same way Krishna. He was ready to break his word. He came down out of the chariot. He was ready to attack Bhishma Deva. And everybody saw it. Only out of Arjuna's appeal, Krishna, please, don't do this. Otherwise all the world will condemn me. He was feeling so bad that Krishna has to come down and protect him. He said, Krishna, I will do that. I will kill my grandfather. So devotee is ready. He is ready to do everything for Krishna. He is ready to relinquish all his material attachments for this world. And those attachments are looking so abominable from the level of the transcendence. So for those liberated souls, all our that then to enjoy this world are so abominable. But we don't feel so, right? We are still after something material in the form of power, wealth, prestige, my prestige, and so important. So when guests are coming, we are not attentive. When some exalted devotee comes, we are not attentive. Because we are so much absorbed in our existence. There are exalted devotees. And we should be ready to point all our attention to please them, exalted devotees. When Vidura came back, they were so much delightful. They felt as if life had returned to their bodies. Vidura was so dear to them. Because Vidura was the emblem of Dharma. Manifestation. He is the incarnation of whom? Yamaraja. So Yamaraja, one of the Mahajanas, he came here to teach the glories of the Lord. So they were so happy to see him. And it is so beautiful when we are able to serve others. Such a sublime position to serve others. We should try to appreciate it. Devotees are worthy of this service. And especially there are exalted devotees. We have to understand. Our approach should be approach of service. Because those devotees are so dear to Krishna. Their time is so valuable because they spend all, every second for service to Krishna. And in that way, if we have that mode of service to the devotees, especially to exalted devotees, we will become qualified to receive transcendental knowledge. Humility is the beginning of self-realization. In Bhagavad Gita, in 13th chapter, Krishna explains what is the path of self-realization. And he starts his explanation from the quality of humility. If we are not humble, then we cannot receive that mood of service. We will be in same mentality as an enjoyer. We will think, I am deceiver of this universe. Every time we speak, every class we speak, about bhakti, humility. But how much deep we understood what humility is. Without humility we cannot experience a spiritual sphere. We cannot have any experience. Therefore, after lamenting do daivam idrisam imadgani nanuraga Chitani Mahaprabhu says, Vinata Pisa Nishuna, Tarora Pisa Nishuna, Amanima Manadena, Yutaniya Sudahari. Humility is so important. Otherwise there is no access to spiritual world. who is the personified humility in the leaders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established four principles. One of them is humility. And who was the manifestation of humility in the leaders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Huh? Not Haridas. Sanatana Goswami. Haridas Thakur, he was personification of tolerance. It is one of the principles set forth by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they this Muslim Shah said that now we will show you, we will beat you on the 22 marketplaces. Haridas Thakur's reply was, even if you will cut me into pieces, into thousands of pieces, every piece of my body will change.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So that was Haridas Thakur, our Namacharya. And Sanatana Goswami, he was representing principle of humility. And we see so many wonderful pastimes in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila, also related to Sanatana Goswami when he was manifesting such exalted quality of humility. And Sanatana Goswami in Bhagavatamrita is a definition of humility. So we heard about humility 1,000 times, right or not? Who can give definition of humility? You can contemplate just 5 seconds.
But always prefer to give respect to others.
I'm not expecting respect from others, being ready to respect others.
I do not deserve it.
I am not deserving. What?
Like not wanting for it or like not expecting.
Not expecting anything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says actual humility means to not expect anything from anybody. That is one of the definitions. There can be given many definitions of humility. Sanatana Goswami, yes.
Incompetent. Sanatana Goswami.
It claims that we are sending the instrument of Dainya, extreme humility. The Bhakti and Dainya are intertwined. They are a symbiotic relationship. And as that stands, it comes out as a devotee feels his holy incompetence.
Incompetent.
Sanatana Goswami writes that humility is that quality which makes most sublime and exalted devotees to think I am most unqualified and lowest one. And humility is not something artificial. Sometimes we may see that we are trying to wear some mask to put on ourselves and show that how much we are humble. or sometimes we may see somebody trying to behave as a humble. But actual humility, that is the way of thinking. That is the position when servant, when devotee, he appreciates, exalted position of the Lord. Actually, humility means to deeply realize that I am the servant. That strong desire to serve God in any circumstances. At any time, without any motivation. Strong desire to serve. Always see yourself as a servant of Krishna. That is humility. We don't put on any mask. I am a big man. No, I am a humble servant of the servant of the Lord. We don't think even that I am a servant of Krishna. One journalist approached Srila Prabhupada and he asked him, "So who are you?" And Prabhupada was humbly replying, "I am a servant of God." And after he corrected himself, he was saying, "I am trying to be servant of God." So it's not easy to be servant of God. Because of our gross material attachment to this world, attachment to so many designations. And all our offenses in our devotional path because of our envy. All our offenses rise from envy. We cannot attend to the chant mantra. We cannot be attending to the devotees. We commit offenses in this, worshipping to these deities. We should understand everything meant for pleasure of the Lord, for pleasure of the deity. If we perform a drama, it is meant for pleasing of the Lord, not for our pleasure. Not for our pleasure. We don't sing holy names for our pleasure. We should not say by back with the deity. We should not play drama also back with the deity. It's meant for their pleasure, not for ours. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Durdaiva. He says, I am unfortunate because I have not any attachment. I have not any attachment to the holy name. Durdaiva. Durdaiva, that is offense. That are my offenses. We have to understand what are those offenses which we commit. Those who are sincere in the path of bhakti, they have to contemplate what are those offenses which I am committing. We should repent on understanding what offenses I commit. We should beg forgiveness. We should repent. We should stop all those offenses. And we should seek shelter of the holy name. In the beginning, when we come to Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to engage our body in service to the Lord. That is considered a first initiation in this consciousness. Right. How many initiations do you have in this time? Three? What are those? How many initiations do you have in this time? Harinam initiation is one. Ramana initiation is two. Sannyas initiation is three. So it's similar to that. In the beginning, devotee engages his body in the service of God. Because he is embodied the consciousness, so he is engaging his body. While progressing on the path of bhakti, he engaged his mind in the service of God. So it's like second initiation. And sannyasa means, when we are engaging what in this service? Work. We are engaging our work. So all our existence is meant to please the Lord. Body, mind, and our speech. Everything should be dedicated for pleasing the Lord. That is the definition of bhakti. We have to learn this science. This is the actual science. Bhakti is not sentimental. We have to understand how to apply this science in our practical day-to-day life. How to, many times we are asked, how to progress in Krishna consciousness. Answer is very simple. We have to just apply this process. We have to become serious. When Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji was approached by this question, he was replying, we have to see to the hypocrite. So if we want really to develop bhakti, we have to cease to be hypocrite. Our motivation should be pure to develop bhakti, nothing else. Devotee should understand, my objective is only Krishna, is only service to Krishna. And we can relinquish our material attachment only in decay if we have very deep understanding of value of bhakti. We should aspire only for bhakti. We need nothing but service to Krishna, that's all. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, comments, please. Yes.
What are the four principles?
Four principles. Humility, tolerance, following principles, and equanimity. That is the quality of a jiva. Ramananda Rai was the representative of that principle. That story about Ramananda Rai is not so usually public. He was teaching a dancing girl from the temple of Jagannath, and he was unaffected by that situation. Have you got four principles? Yeah, strict following of the principle. Or strict following of the vow. A representative of that quality was Swarupa Damodara Goswami. And his student, who is that? Raghunatha Goswami. There is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita of following of Raghunatha Goswami, was similar to the what? To the line carved in a stone. It was so strict in following principles. It is like every day you write for Mangalaya before 4 o'clock. That is the point. If anybody wants really develop Krishna consciousness, they have to rise early in the morning before 4 o'clock, because the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. He said, all my followers, all my disciples should rise before 4 o'clock. Not one day a week. On the Sunday. But every day. And other acharyas also taught how to strictly follow the principles of bhakti. Sanatana, Rupa, Raghunatha, Goswami, they were every day paying obeisances thousands of times. They did not think that it is waste of the time to bow down to the devotees or Govardhan. We may think sometimes, oh, what is the use to waste the time to pay obeisance? But acharyas did. They show the example how to follow the vow principle. Sanatana Goswami, after his old age, he was every day performing parikrama around Govardhan. And not 22 kilometers, but twice more. If you have done one, at least Govardhan or parikrama, you will know about it. But she was doing that every day. Krishna became so compassionate that his body is not so well and he is old. So he came himself. He said, oh Babaji, why you are so old? You are going every day. Now you can relax, you are old. There's no need to go every day. Nothing like that funny, was objecting, no, I have given a vow, I have to go. And again that boy appeared and she said, you see, this is the Shalagram Sutra. You can circle Mandalay 7 times and it's equal. And he showed his form of Krishna. Only after that, the Nathana Goswami accepted. We must follow. If we want to develop Krishna consciousness, means we have to follow. Process is working. From the Mrishas and Yavanas we may become first class devotees. We may become. And it is wanted. Prabhupada has given us this sublime way of bhakti. Unadulterated. Very clear, pure, scientific way to approach Krishna. Not sentiment. We have to just follow the process. We should stop our offenses. We should endeavor hard to achieve bhakti. We have to rise on the platform of bhakti. Otherwise, if we will be on the stage of nama-aparata, offensive state, then we may perform this process of bhakti for many, many millions of lives. Unless we become serious in Krishna consciousness, we cannot make any tangible advancement. So it's not easy to be devotee. Experiences in Russia. I can appreciate many sincere endeavors in Russia to achieve bhakti. Devotees are sincere in Russia. Because they do not come to ISKCON to gain something material. That is a different situation from India, in the sense India is poorer and some people may come to Krishna consciousness to get something material. But in the Western countries, usually you cannot get something material. If you want to improve your material situation, you will not go to this. Because outside are more facilities to become prosperous in material way. So, as I perceive in Russia, devotees are quite sincere and they are seriously trying to follow this process. They are fortunate in that they are not from childhood receiving this different conception like worshiping demigods, about different gods, different philosophical teaching. They are quite fortunate that Śrīla Prabhupāda gave them directly this teaching so far to Jesus. But they did not know anything comparable to Bhagavad Gita. After many years of my search also, I was searching for something sublime. I was also reading different books, different philosophers. I read also different religious books. I was not happy with that. But after reading one or two pages of Bhagavad Gita, I was so much enraptured. I understood this is an amazing book. That was my objective to find. I was searching for it for so long. I was so much inspired just from the beginning of reading of Bhagavad Gita. So in Russia, our ISKCON movement is developing well. We have many temples, many sincere devotees, preachers. About 1 lakh of devotees we have in Russia. Congregational devotees. Now we are starting temple project in Moscow. Because in the winter we cannot start the construction, so we will be starting that in the spring. So after 3 months construction will start, and we have some funds to start it. So it will be a tangible effect all over the we will feel influence of that project all over Russia. That will be a first temple constructed in a traditional, or you can say, specially constructed temple for worship the Lord, for worship of the Lord. Because previously we had a temple in some building which were rented, or some houses which were built, but this will be real temple like in India. Big project for many millions of dollars. Bhakti Vidyananda Goswami Maharaj, who is the head for that project, is attempting very seriously to build up the temple. He personally collects funds for that temple. We can say their position is relenting. Means they are becoming softer and softer towards Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, after this communistic regime, it was very difficult to promote our cult of Vaishnavism, because it was extraordinarily new for Russia. But now many people acquainted with Hare Krishna, they know that we are dancing and distributing books, and that our movement based on a very scientific approach, that we have many books, that not just we are sentimental, just thinking, but we have some scientific approach. We have many books, and that is a very ancient tradition to follow Pada Bhakti. So it's getting better in Russia. The situation is getting better. Not in every place, because Russia is so big, but the tendency is that it's getting better. And there are more devotees, more good distribution comparatively. Not so much as it is wanted, but still books are distributed on the regular basis, not just 1 month a year. Devotees go every day outside and distribute books. Unfortunately, it is not so dynamic now as it was in the time of Prabhupada. But it depends on us, on our attitude. We should understand how much is important to teach. How much is important to imbibe the mood of preaching. To go every day and preach. To give these books to the general public. Hare Krishna Prabhu, you said calamities happen due to time, karma. Is this any way to avoid, or what is that?
Is there any way to avoid or overcome the calamity? How do you understand the calamity that happens due to these three factors of Krishna?
Is there any way to avoid or overcome the calamity? How to understand that calamities are happening due to the three factors of our three personalities? In the case of materialistic people, we have to understand that calamities are happening due to the karma, kala, and their nature. But in the case of devotees, we have to understand that Krishna is taking part. He controls the karma of the devotee. We have to understand that actually we don't depend on karma, but we depend on Krishna. And more Krishna reveals himself to the devotees, more Krishna takes part in the life of devotees. As per our advancement in mentality, I am a servant of God. Devotee has no any material cause for calamity. We should understand. And that is the vision of a devotee. You think everything can be God. And that is just a little punishment for all my misdeeds in the past. And Krishna gives me a little punishment to improve me. That is the reason of devotee. So devotee, he is not under influence of karma. He is under control of world. Deyadham am prabhajyante samsathaiva bhajyami aham. Krishna says, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So we have to find the hand of Krishna in our life. We have to grow up to the stage when we will be able to see the hand of Krishna in our life. So devotee has no material causes for suffering. Krishna arranges everything in the life of a devotee to increase his attachment for him. Sometimes that mercy of Krishna comes in the form of calamity. And only those who are humble can understand it. And they will be qualified to get out of material pleasure. Hare Krishna, thank you for your question. Hello, Prabhupada.